Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Today's episode is sponsored by Homeschool Explained, an online course I created to help parents find their confidence as they begin their homeschool journey. This course is designed to save you time. No more maddening online searches for how to start homeschooling. This is me holding your hand and walking you through Homeschool 101 in just under 3 hours. That's it. 3 hours of video tutorial plus a downloadable PDF. I used to teach in-person workshops when I lived on Maui to help families gather all the information and resources they needed, answer all their questions, alleviate concerns, and help them get organized as they started homeschooling. Homeschool Explained is the online version of those workshops. I totally get it. Starting any new journey can be really overwhelming, especially when it comes to rethinking how your kids are going to get an education and that you are going to be the teacher. But don't worry, there is so much support and freedom in homeschooling. It's doable, it's fun, and it takes way less time than most people think. I put over 15 years of homeschool experience and insights into this easy-to-follow, easy-to-use online course that answers common questions, helps you work through worries, and saves you time. No more internet search overload. This is all the info you need to get started homeschooling today from a trusted, experienced source. In Homeschool Explained, I show you what modern homeschool days actually look like, all while covering major topics like curriculum, homeschool styles, subjects to teach, cost, state laws, socialization, and so much more. This course takes the guesswork out of where and how to begin and leaves you with solid support and resources from day one. I would be honored to help you start your homeschool journey. Find out more at homeschoolexplained.com. That's homeschoolexplained.com. What is your homeschool freedom worth? Today's episode is probably going to be controversial to some listeners. My guest, Abby Ranella, and I are going to talk about school choice and public school partnerships and what effect these have on homeschool freedom. You might not agree with what Abby and I have to say on these topics, and you might only agree with part of it. You might agree with all of it, and any of those are totally okay. We are here to share a perspective that is not shared very often during recent conversations about school choice. I always trust my listeners to use their own discernment. You know what is best for your family, and I think we can all agree that there is no one-size-fits-all solution for anything ever. All of that being said, Abby and I are here today to share our perspective as two veteran homeschool moms with a lot of kids between the two of us. We are both passionate freedom-fighting homeschool mamas who have been active in homeschool politics for quite a few years. Homeschool freedoms are under attack and are very much affected by the school choice movement happening right now. I appreciate you showing up for today's show and considering a different perspective than the one being sold by politicians. If nothing else, I'm hoping this conversation helps bring foresight to discussions surrounding school choice and public school partnerships, as well as much needed perspective from homeschool families who have opted out of mainstream education. Abby Ranella lives in the mountains of the West with her college sweetheart and their three kids. Abby writes and speaks to encourage and inspire parents to answer the call to train up their children in God's word and to stand on truth in a culture that's lost its foundation. Abby can be found as a frequent guest on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast, and she and her husband serve on their state homeschool board. Abby also writes for the outdoor industry, sharing her family's experiences in the outdoors. You can find her at calledtothetop.com. I'll be sure to link to that over in the show notes at elevatingmotherhood.com. Without further ado, let's welcome the brave Abby Ranella to the show. Aloha, Abby. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
I am so stoked for people to get to know you more. And I'm stoked to get to know you more too, because the only interaction I've ever had with you is watching you speak at the Homeschool Idaho Conference outside of Boise last summer. And I was so struck by your presence and your message and how it is you and Homeschool Idaho are standing up for homeschool freedoms, the work that you do, the way you present it. It's so understandable. And I think that that is in the true spirit of what homeschool is. It's doable. It's understandable. It's about genuine community and connection and showing up for our kids in the best way possible and walking the walk and living our values. And I can tell that you do that. And I appreciate that so much. So I'm so stoked for my audience to get to know you. Can you share a little bit about yourself in your own words?
Yes. Thank you so much. So my name is Abby Ranella, and I am an Idaho native, born and raised. And raising my kids here. And it's kind of a rarity this day and age, as so many new people are in Idaho. I'm actually a sold out former public school teacher who thought that homeschooling was probably the worst possible thing that there was. And then the Lord got a hold of me, and I had my first child, and I looked her in the eyes and my husband, and I said, God gave this child for us to raise and nobody else. And so I came home from my job and I've never turned back. And we now have three kids that we've homeschooled all the way through. I have a high schooler, a middle schooler, and an elementary school. And I've done a 180 thanks to the Lord's work in my heart and my incredible husband, who basically gave me no option because he was much wiser than I at the time. And he was homeschooled, actually. And so it's been the greatest blessing of my life to be a stay-at-home mom, to raise our children in the love of the Lord, in truth, and to learn to teach them to stand on that truth and to homeschool them.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. And yes. Abby, not to get all in your marriage, but I'm curious, before you had kids, if he was homeschooled and you were a public school teacher, did y'all talk about that?
Well, okay. So this is he was young and in love. So he probably wasn't, totally by the grace of God. But his mother, who was an amazing woman full of grace, we sat at the kitchen counter one day, and I will never forget, she was telling me her opinions on homeschooling. And I was clearly 20 years old and knew everything, because you're 20, right? And I was going to a liberal college thinking I knew everything. I mean, I was a believer and I was walking with the Lord, but I told her, you know, public school is the way to go. And the woman had more grace, because if I was her, I would have pulled my son aside and said, run for the hills. But she didn't. She had such grace, and she loved me. And clearly she knew something I didn't. And now I not only have homeschooled my kids every day, they've never stepped foot in a public school, but I'm on the board of Homeschool Idaho. I speak across the nation, encouraging parents to just be obedient to God and what he's called us to do as parents. So I'm ever so grateful that for my mother-in-law, who had such grace and wisdom and held out hope for me.
Oh, I'm so glad I asked that question. I have chills from head to toe. I love that woman too. And all I know is that story about her. That's amazing. I love that so much. Oh, well, good for her. Well, I hope and pray that we can show up with similar grace today as we talk about the very controversial topic of homeschool and freedom. And you'd think that it wouldn't be a controversial topic, but it kind of is, because homeschool has exploded, and with good reason. You know, some of it for practical reasons, and some of it just because people are starting to see, I feel called to do this. I see other people doing it and loving their life and being with their kids and loving mothering, and they're doing it. Can I do it too? And because of this influx, there's a kind of a grab, I feel like, for who's in control of homeschool and who should be involved and all of that. And I have a unique, homeschool story that a lot of our listeners already know about. But basically, my oldest is 9, but I've been homeschooling, way beyond that, homeschooling someone else's kids part-time. And because of that, I can see from the wider perspective that I believe that homeschool freedoms are under threat. And I'm wondering if you feel the same.
Well, I just, you know, I can speak. Yes, the answer, the short answer is yes, 100%. You know, just I can just share a little bit about in our own state, you know, people think because we are the freest state to homeschool, people think, oh, you know, it's always been that way. But actually, 30 years ago, families were jailed and kids were put in foster care for simply homeschooling. And it has been a long battle. And we are now 30 years later, by the grace of God and the hard work of the people that have gone before me, the pioneers of this state and in homeschooling, we are now the freest state. However, when you speak to those people, dear friends of mine who were there 30 years ago fighting the good fight, they have said very openly that they feel that the threat to homeschool freedom that we are experiencing right now is the greatest threat that they have seen in the last 30 years. Wow. And so that should wake up a lot of people. The difference is this is kind of a quiet underground threat that it's not right in your face. Parents aren't being jailed, so parents aren't really seeing this. But the threat is very real. It's there. And like you said, you know, homeschooling is more than doubled actually since 2019, which is definitely gaining attention to outsiders as what is this homeschool thing? And are we losing control of families? And so what do we need to do about it? So, you know, it's awesome that more kids are coming home. That is a huge blessing. I think it's one of the greatest things. But with the good comes the challenges. You have a lot of new homeschool families that don't know the history of homeschooling. They don't know that there was a threat. They have no idea. A gal just moved. I just talked to a gal the other day, and she just moved to our state. And she said, I said, you know, you really need to get involved in your state organization and HSLD. And she said, oh, I don't need to do that. It's 2023. There's no threat. And it shocked me. It shocked me how people are not understanding the huge threat to our children. I mean, just turn on the news. They're coming after our kids. And to our homeschooling freedom in general. So yes, there's 100% a threat to our freedom happening right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I can empathize with that mom who moved here and thinks, well, these are the modern times and it's just accepted and all of that. Because especially if you're starting out with homeschool, it can just feel like a lot to dedicate yourself to learning how to homeschool and homeschool well and show up for your kids. And you already have so much insecurity and so much on your plate already making this enormous life adjustment that it's hard to widen your lens and look at larger homeschool issues.
For sure.
And I agree with you that I think that it's not quite so in your face. I can't remember the word that my one friend used the other day, but it's almost like this gas stove stuff that's talking about, you know, like the big picture of like, okay, we're going to ban all gas stoves.
Right.
And then there's outrage and they're like, just kidding. We're just not going to let you put gas stoves in any new builds. And everyone who already has a gas stove is like, I'm fine.
Right.
So therefore I don't have to pay attention to gas stoves. And I know it seems like a silly example, but I feel like it's the same way with homeschooling too. When they're like, we're going to turn homeschool into a national program. And everyone's like, whoa, 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 no, outrage. And then they're like, just kidding. We're going to come in the back door with saying that you have to report to the state and you have to do these standardized tests at each different age. And right now it's really based on state to state is my understanding of everything. And there isn't a national umbrella of homeschool, but there's people like Elizabeth Barthelet at Harvard who are talking about that and wanting to do that. And just, I'll put that in the show notes for everyone to like research on their own later. But why do you think it's important for parents to understand not only homeschool laws in their state, but just any government involvement in homeschool?
Well, I would say, first of all, if you're homeschooling, you already have the understanding that your children's lives matter and that it is our responsibility and our calling to teach and train them up. So I think we're one step ahead of the curve in that, you know, we are looking out for our children and our children's future. So one reason is if you're just starting out homeschooling and your kids are young and you're just trying to get your feet on the ground and you're thinking, I don't have time to get involved in the big picture. You don't have to get involved in the big picture per se the way that I am, but you do need to understand that the choices you make today for your family will impact your freedoms 5 years from now and your children's freedoms to homeschool. And although you may not need to, you know, go out and speak and do what I'm doing, the choices you make in your home, and we'll talk about what some of those choices are in the big word choice, which is really what we're going to be talking about. Those choices today are directly going to affect your ability, your freedom to homeschool tomorrow and your children's future.
Mm-hmm. I love that, because when you were saying all of that, I thought, oh, that makes so much sense and it's easy for us to understand. One eye on the now, like right. How it is you're showing up, and one eye on the future, because absolutely. We are definitely showing up in the now for the sake of our children's future. For and sure. I do think it is important to have that sort of split vision,
right.
even when you're showing up and being present in the now. Right. Well, I'd love for listeners to hear about two examples, especially here in Idaho, that illustrate a lot of what we just talked about. And one of the things that's kind of been proposed is this notion of school choice.
Right.
And then there's the other sort of public school partnerships. Can right. you break those two things down for
yes.
us?
So one, the school choice movement is a nationwide movement, and I'm sure it's everywhere. They wear yellow ribbons. It's a whole thing. It's the school choice movement. And honestly, that sounds incredible. Like, I'm all for school choice. I believe that parents should have the choice to educate their children in the way that they see fit. Here is the catch. We already have school choice. Every state in the United States of America has school choice. There isn't a single state in our nation that you cannot homeschool or private school or public school or charter school. We already have school choice. So my question is just, I love to help people think. Why do you think there is such a huge push for something we already have? Like, if we already have it, it would be like in my town for there to be this huge movement to get a grocery store. We already have a grocery store. So what is the catch? Why are we pushing something we already have? Well, this is where we get to share truth with people. School choice is actually a funding issue. It's a funding issue. It's not about giving parents the right to choose how to educate their kids. We already have that. It is a push to say who funds that parent's choice, right? And the push is that the government would fund any choice I make. The government would fund my private school choice. The government would fund my public school choice, which they already do. The government would fund my home school choice, okay? That is where we get into trouble. I just want to clarify, we already have school choice. We don't need to march in the streets for school choice. We already have it. What we need to do is hold the line for our freedom to continue to have that choice. And this school choice push would actually, what it's going to do is it's actually going to remove our choice, because every form of education is going to fall under government funding. And what the government funds, it regulates. And rightly so. I mean, there needs to be accountability with government spending, right? I mean, I believe in that. So therefore, anything that the government funds, it's going to regulate. Therefore, if the government funds homeschool, or if a parent takes any funding from the government, any funding that is not your personal money, then you are now in partnership with the government in your home education. What this is, ultimately, to break it down, the school choice movement is, it's a Trojan horse. It's the cheese in the mouse trap. It's the way that they come in the back door into our home, and regulation will come. Okay. It will come. Anything the government funds, it regulates. Forms of that regulation would be, say, testing, you know, mandatory testing, or curriculum checks. That's a huge one. They're going to check and make sure what kind of curriculum we're using. Well, the government doesn't want to fund biblical education. So therefore, right. we are going to be limited on what curriculum we can use. An example in Canada that they have embraced this this whole thing is the education saving, the ESAs. They are now making sure that parents are teaching critical race. They're making sure that parents are teaching LGBT. They're making sure that parents are giving their kids, you know, across the board, the gender studies, and not God's gender studies, but theirs. And so whatever the government funds, the government regulates. And that could end up being health regulations like vaccines, right? It could be home checks. There's many things that this would come. The appeal to this to families is the money. A little tiny bit of money and you're giving away your freedom. And that is what we are calling out parents to say. The danger with these ESAs or these public school partnerships, which a public school partnership basically means that you are enrolling your child in a public school program. There's many names for them. You can look them up in your area. But I mean, you know, you're a part of one if you're getting funding to quote unquote homeschool your kid. What you're doing is you're enrolling your kids in public school. You have these regulations, okay? So any amount of money that you take, parents find it appealing. I can pay for ballet. I can pay for ski lessons, right? But at what cost? And that's mm-hmm. what we want to alert parents. It's at the cost of your freedom, right? There are strings attached to every dollar. And with what we're talking about, the strings are attached to your children. And what we want to ask parents are, do you want the government strings attached to your children? Do you want them in your home regulating your homeschool? And that's ultimately what is happening and what will continue to happen when we take government money for private education.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly. And it is such a small amount of money.
Right. And that's what we're trying to say is, the thing is right now they're not in our homes, but the thing is we're inviting them in, mm-hmm. right? We're giving up our freedom for just a little bit of money. Like you said, it's not very much. I mean, my heart is, even if it was all the money in the world, what is your freedom worth, you know? And, mm-hmm. and what is the freedom of your children and their generation worth? And to me, at the end of the day, do you think your kids, you know, fast forward 20 years, are they going to say, gee, mom and dad, you know, thanks for the extra manipulatives we got with that money. Too bad we can't homeschool our own kids freely, but we got great manipulatives. Or are they going to say, mom and dad, thanks for the freedom that you fought for, so now we can homeschool our children and teach them and train them up in the way that we are called by God. And I think if you just fast forward or you zoom out and look at the picture, say, big picture, you know, what matters? I look at generations that went before us, even in our nation, and I'm like, men died for a little bit of freedom. And we're not even willing to give up the extra box of blocks that this money could offer us for the freedom to educate our own children. You know, I think we need to really step back and zoom out and fast forward and look at what this actually means.
Mm-hmm. I think in order for people to understand that better, I'd like to talk about what true freedom actually looks like in homeschool. And so I'd like to give a couple of examples, but I'd also love to ask you to give a couple of examples about what freedom in homeschool looks like. And okay. just as an example for my family, I believe in a Waldorf approach to teaching reading, and that is to teach it at an age-appropriate level. And so a lot of times that doesn't really begin until like third grade.
Right.
But if I were under a government program or in the state of Hawaii, right. I would be asked to take my third grader in to be tested. She would right. fail those tests
right.
because we have not been teaching to the state test. We exactly. would never have done that. If I wanted to teach my kid to the state test, I would maybe hire somebody else to do that, but I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And so being asked to report back to the state what it is we're teaching, how it is we're teaching, it just doesn't make any sense to me, because I have watched multiple Waldorf graduates in at the third grade level go from like zero to reading Harry Potter overnight. And they are voracious readers. Absolutely. Because they learn to read at their own pace, at their own interest level. And then next thing you know, everything is clicking for them, not because they have been asked to do flashcards since preschool.
Right. Right.
But because they have been taught at a natural level. And this is the case for my oldest daughter. She went from zero to The Hobbit overnight and reads and helps teach her sister. And it's easy and free. That is the ultimate freedom for us.
Absolutely.
I also like to use multiple curriculum, but I don't do lesson one, lesson two, lesson three, lesson four.
Right.
I might only use a couple of activities from one, or a philosophy from one, or even like the teacher encouragement notes from one and combine it all together. Now imagine me sitting down and trying to explain that to someone who's a quote unquote expert who has no idea what this kind of homeschool freedom looks like. So for me, I want to be able to use religious curriculum, because giving my kids a Christian-based education is very important to us.
Right.
And it's our freedom
Correct.
And our right to be able to do that. And me reporting to somebody who doesn't understand that, who's willing to give me, you know, hardly any money at all a year and say, you know, call it something fancy like school choice, that to me is not true freedom.
I could not agree more. And I look at the definition of freedom that I found. It says the condition of freedom is it is the condition of being free of restraints, the ability to act without control or interference of another. And this is exactly what we are inviting into our home when we take even a dollar for our education. We're enrolling, we're registering, we're signing our kids up, and we are asking for. This is what's blowing my mind. The government is not coming in and forcing themselves. We are willingly giving up our freedom. We are choosing. We are opening the door and inviting them in because they're coming with some, you know, some shiny green money that's going to buy me something that really doesn't matter in the long run anyway. And so we are inviting them in. And like you said, you know, these quote unquote experts, they do not know your children. They do not know your children at all. Kids read at all different ages. Kids read at all different levels. I believe wholeheartedly that God created every child unique with their own abilities, gifts, talents, struggles. And he has a purpose and a plan for them. And when, you know, as a prior classroom teacher, you know, I stick 26 kids in 26 seats. I teach them exactly the same way. And I don't care how many teachers tell you that they try to customize the education per kid. You can't do that with 26 kids. It's not possible. I tried for years. And so we're shoving them in boxes and we're shoving them in boxes and we're trying to fit them in these boxes. And homeschool freedom allows me to teach to the child that God gave me the best way that they learn. You know, I don't have to count 170 days. Do you know why? Because one of my children is going to take 5 days to learn a 10-day lesson, and one of my kids going to take 20 days to learn a 10-day lesson. And I have the freedom to teach them at their own pace, at their own level, to ensure that they succeed where God has called them. And when we have all these restrictions and when we have all this, what this interference and this control, mm-hmm. they're going to be putting our kids back in the same box that so many of you tried to get them out of by bringing them home. And again, let me reiterate, we are choosing this by taking the money. When you take the money, you are inviting the regulation into your home.
Mm-hmm. You are. 100%. And I love that freedom also honors individuality. And that is not something that is honored in the education system at all.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's one of the major failings yeah. of the education system. And my sure. kids and many kids I know are thriving in the true freedom to learn. And that means
Absolutely.
Unencumbered. It means them being honored as an individual. Mm-hmm. And that is where they are happiest, is without yeah. all of that interference.
Yes.
And I don't need that interference.
I agree. And I also think the one thing that is very diabolically different between the public education system and homeschool is, you know, we're family focused. We are, our kids are learning together. We are very family focused. And you asked, you know, what freedoms do I love about homeschool? One is that we can be family, Christ and family centered. And so, you know, I don't have to, like you said, log my hours. I don't have to log the hours. I teach my kids what they need, what I know that they need. They could pass any test you ask them to, but I'm not required to do that, nor do we want that. But those are the regulations that are going to come in. Like you said, they're going to be tested on the things that don't matter.
Right.
You know? And so I love my homeschool freedom because, you know, we're a very outdoors family. We spend, I would say, 60% of our time in the mountains, in the outdoors. And I can teach my kids, you know, anatomy and physiology by field dressing an animal that's going to feed us for the rest of the year on the side of the hill. And rather than sitting down to a textbook and having to learn it. But if I'm going to have to teach to a test, then all of that real life experience is going to have to be tabled. And I'm going to have to get back to the way the very thing that we pulled them out of. And those regulations will come. That will, it's happening. Let me just tell you, it is happening, because what you're doing when you take that money is you are enrolling your kids, you are registering your kids, and you are inviting that regulation in. So if you value your homeschool freedom, if you are homeschooling because you want to teach and train to who your child is, if you are homeschooling because you believe in freedom, freedom for your family, freedom to teach and train your kids to stand on truth when the world has completely lost its mind, if those things matter to you, then there must be a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice for anything good. And the sacrifice right now isn't really, I mean, it's a couple thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, is not our freedom and our children worth that? And I mean, there has to be a sacrifice to maintain these freedoms that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard, I think, hard for people to understand that that's what could come to be, because right now it is homeschool freedom with some extra manipulatives, with a few
right.
lessons paid
right.
for. With yep. I even heard that some homeschool programs will like fund chicken coops in your backyard,
yes, absolutely.
Or an eagle cruise, or,
yep.
you know, like all
right.
these random, super random
totally.
Things. But I could almost guarantee you they would not approve them for knitting lessons at the local cafe with an 80-year-old auntie that we
yeah.
adore, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I choose to have relationships
you know, with her and have my kids learn from her in a free setting.
Yeah. And like you said, right now people aren't seeing it. They're seeing the extra lessons, the chicken coop. They're like, oh, all we have to do is test. Like, that's not that big of a deal to them, which I just want to say, I ask people this a lot. In the last couple years, do you have more confidence in your government fighting for your freedom, or do you have less, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have less, then you have to know that regulation is only going to be more. I always say 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? That's it. Just 2 weeks. No big deal. 2 weeks turned into what, you know? And so it's the same with any regulation. Right now, it may just be this, but you know it's going to be more. There is no question it's going to be more. But even with just the little bit it is, that's giving up a little bit of your freedom is ultimately going to lead to giving up all of your freedom.
Mm-hmm. And Abby, just a super humbling example, 2 weeks led to my family fleeing Hawaii for Idaho. Right. And leaving our beloved community of almost 20 years.
Wow. See? Yeah. And so it a little bit of freedom sacrificed, you know, it's not worth it.
I think it's really obvious from where I sit that it's a possibility these restrictions are coming sooner than later. Because right now, in order to take government funding to homeschool, like I said, just a pennies in my book, right. To homeschool your kids when there's the possibility to make way more money having true freedom to right. be entrepreneurs or explore other options without having the stresses of teaching to a test, is that, you know, they say, oh, well, no non-religious curriculum, or you can only use non-religious curriculum. Mm-hmm. So that takes out a lot of curriculum for them. Well, the next time they come out with a regulation, because the government can't leave anything alone. They can't be like, look, this is working. We should just leave it how it is. Right. Instead, someone else has to come in and be the next hero and right. say, actually, we could probably make this better. Let's only approve these 10 curriculums.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, we'll give you funding, but you can only choose from these 10 curriculums.
Right.
And then the next time they're like, well, you know, mostly these parents are only using these 5. So let's only offer them 5. And then the next thing right. you know, it's tighter and tighter and tighter. Absolutely. Because people meddle. Yeah. And I think that there are just so many obvious failings of the education system. And I was really struck by the recent Homeschool Idaho email that stated that ESAs won't protect kids from any of the harmful practices that plague the public school system. They'll just bring the same irreparable harm into our homeschools, even those homeschools that don't accept funding.
Right.
So I love that you are pointing out that even though some of us aren't accepting the funding,
right.
other people accepting the funding is indeed affecting us.
Yes, absolutely. So the example you gave about just there's a little regulation and then there's more, it's that frog in the pot analogy, right? You put the frog in the cold water and no big deal. And you just start to turn on the heat and it heats up so slowly the frog doesn't jump out because it doesn't notice. It's not like you're throwing it in a boiling pot of water. But before you know it, the water is boiling, the frog is dead. And that is this analogy of us losing a little freedom at a time. And I hear so many families say, well, when the regulations get to be too much, then we'll stop taking the money. Well, again, the frog in the pot, it will be too late. And we need to hold that line of freedom now, because by the time you want to jump, it's going to be too late. The noose is tightened, right? The strings that are attached to your kids, it's too late. So ESAs aren't going to, your question was, are ESAs going to, you know, help these families leave a broken system? Well, absolutely not, because this is what we have to think about. It's a revolving back door into the system. So we're leaving the system because we disagree with it. And this part seems so obvious to me, but I'm thinking people are having a hard time understanding it. You are leaving a system because you don't agree with it. You're leaving a system because you know that you can do a better job at home. But then what you're doing is you're asking that very same system that you left to come into your home and do the very same thing that they did in the system you left. Does that make sense? So it's this revolving back door. You know, you shut the front door to the government and said, I'm going to teach and train my kids up in the way that I know is best for them. But then you open the back door and you let them come in. The only difference is you're letting them come in with all this money in the back door. That's what's opening the back door. So all of this brokenness is now in our homes. And so it's actually making the problem much greater, right? It's making the problem bigger. And then so many people say, well, we need to choke out the public schools. We don't agree with what's happening in the public schools. You know, we don't agree with what they're teaching. But the reality is when you take the government money to fund your homeschool, you're actually making that system bigger. You're growing that system. Now that system is not only funding the brick and mortar school down the street, it's also funding your home. So you're actually making the system bigger. You are growing it, right? And you're creating dependency on the very system that you don't agree with. The very system that you want to remove your kids on, now you're creating dependency upon that system in your own home by depending on them to fund your choice, the choice you actually already had. So by bringing my kids home, I'm pulling my kids out of that system. But the minute I take that money, I'm inviting that system right back into my home.
Mm-hmm.
So ESAs are not going to help that at all. They're going to make the problem worse.
That's so clear, Abby. When I'm going to do an episode about this, like actual homeschooling versus crisis schooling, because in the last couple of years, when people were forced to do school at home, they suffered, they struggled. They were like, I don't even know how homeschoolers can do this.
Right.
Well, friends, guess what? Homeschoolers don't do that.
We do
not do school at home.
Right.
We do not force our kids to sit down at a computer at 9 o'clock every day. Yes. Otherwise they're, you know, heaven forbid the internet to be sketchy that morning, or you don't have internet and then your kid is counted absent or truant. You know, we don't have those kinds of pressures. Right. We have opted out of all of those negative aspects of school, like the outright indoctrination, the terrible outcomes, the stress, the lack of individuality, the loss of freedoms, the inappropriate monitoring, being told what to teach, when to teach it. That is not homeschool. That is school at home.
Right.
And the homeschoolers that I know who are suffering the most have not quite come to terms with that yet. And they are still trying to do school at home.
Yes.
And it's when they break out of that mold, break out of that thought pattern, break out of that paradigm, that is where they experience the true freedom of homeschool and the beauty and ease of it all. And that is where you can show up with patience.
Right.
And as your best self. So when people are like, I don't think I'd have the patience to homeschool. Well, quite frankly, I wouldn't have the patience to do school at home or to even entertain the government involved in my homeschool and what the quote unquote experts think I should and shouldn't be doing. Because quite frankly, and maybe you can speak to this as a former school teacher, and I will say, full disclosure, I am listening to Dumbing Us Down by John Taylor Gatto right now. And he talked about how in every school he ever taught in, parents are seen as the adversary. And I can't think of any Instagram video I've seen talking about, you know, teachers as experts and parents trying to come in and telling them what to do. But where's your degree? And making fun, all these TikToks and all of this stuff. I could share dozens and dozens of them that just make parents seem like idiots, like they don't know what they're doing. And even though they're trying to show up as best they can for their kids and say, hey, I see something's broken and not working here, I think something needs to change, they're basically told, you know, to sit down and shut up, that you're not the experts, leave it to the experts. And we're constantly being asked to turn our kids over. And I'm sorry, I just don't want that kind of energy. I don't want anyone coming into my homeschool thinking that they are the expert and they know better when it comes to my children and my children's education.
That's I think ultimately what we need to see would be happening though, is we are inviting them into our homes when we take the money. That is exactly what we are doing, you know? And rightly so. If the government gives money, they need to regulate it. Otherwise, it's just crazy spending, which is what all this is. That's a whole nother topic on just the spending of this and how this is not good economically for any state or country. But ultimately, that is what you're doing, is you're inviting them in. And I love that you say, you know, I spoke a lot on that crisis schooling thing, and parents would say, I don't know how you do this. This is awful. And I would say, I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm doing. I would lose my mind doing what you're doing. You are trying to teach somebody else's plans. You are trying to create somebody else's idea in your own home. You are not homeschooling. And it would be, I turned a lot of people away from homeschooling. And what I say is that wasn't homeschooling. But when you are doing some of these programs where you're taking the money and then you're, you know, when the regulations come, it's going to be the same thing, as you're losing your freedom. You're losing your freedom to teach the way that you are called to teach. And it's going to take away the joy. It's going to take away the fun. And ultimately, it's going to be detrimental to our kids' academic success as well.
Oh, and the success of our families.
Yes,
because they're inviting themselves into our homes. And to me, that is complete and utter overreach.
Right. For sure.
Like, you don't get say in my family unit like that.
Right. And so we need to encourage parents to say, we are inviting them into our homes when we take it. And we can stop this by saying, no, thank you. No, we don't. We don't want this. You know, mm-hmm. we do not want this. And be willing to sacrifice the shiny objects, the cheese in the mousetrap, being able to say no, we know what this will lead to.
Mm-hmm. I think when people say yes, they are looking for money, obviously. Right. Not right. everyone has the same financial situation for sure, and it's very right. appealing. I think they're also looking for guidance.
Right, for sure.
And I just want to highlight that those, both money and guidance, mm-hmm. are available outside of the government.
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
Know that can be really hard for people to see if they're new to homeschool or they're only comfortable with a brick and mortar model
right.
That they probably are already really familiar with. But there are so many ways to make money, less than a couple thousand dollars a year, you know, but getting creative. And right. honestly, there's a lot of homeschool ideas and a lot of entrepreneurial ideas that are shared in homeschool that parents could learn about how to do that too. There are so many how to homeschool for free resources out there.
Right.
There are so many wonderful ways that you can get guidance online, on social media, on websites, in books, at the library.
Right.
There's communities and groups that are outside of government control. There's money that can be made. It is a renewable resource.
Right. Absolutely. And I really think that one problem with this, with the ESAs and the public school partnerships and taking this extra money is it's really breeding a lie that says you have to have all these things to be a successful homeschooler. You have to have the ballet lessons. You have to have the chicken coop. You have to have the extra manipulatives. You have to have all these things because, you know, they're like, we get this amount of money and we have to spend it. And it's breeding this lie that says that's what you need to be a successful homeschooler. Mm-hmm. I was told once by an older, wiser woman, here's what you need to homeschool. You need the Bible and you need your library. But that was years before I thought that the library, we might not need the library anymore, right? We might need to depend on our friends for good quality books. But ultimately, we don't need all of these extras. And the other thing that taking this money is doing is it's breaking down the community. I looked 20 years ago yes. at the homeschool community, and these women and these families were so united and they were so close and they depended on each other. And if one mom couldn't offer something, another mom would help out. Like, hey, I will help you teach science because maybe that's not their gifting. And then you help me. And the homeschool community was a family. It was a tight knit body. Like we read about in the Word of God. But what's happening with this money is we no longer need to depend on each other. We no longer work together. Now it's we have all this money. We have to do all these things that is not true. We don't need to do any of those things. We don't need each other because we've got the government. They're going to give us the money that we need. And it really has broken the homeschool community family down. And that's really saddened me to see that because we're not going to one another. We're not praying for one another. We're not helping each other. We're not encouraging one another. We're just trying to figure out a way to spend this money that we're getting on things that we don't even need.
Mm-hmm. You are 100% correct. And to reference Dumbing Us Down again, I just mm-hmm. listened to a chapter this morning that talks about the importance of participation.
Yes.
And taking government money for stuff right. like this teaches us to be consumers rather than participants.
100%.
And he literally says in the book that we are losing community mm-hmm. in favor of networks.
Yep.
For and sure. that we are now networks instead yep. of actual community. And the difference right. is you can be a consumer in a network. In fact, if you're consuming in a network, you're probably, you know, doing it right. And you're, you know, accepted, quote unquote, accepted, right? And right. you get to stay in the network. But when you're participating in a community,
yes,
that is different.
100%.
And I feel like there are way more opportunities for genuine participation and genuine community outside of government money.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's getting harder because those of us that aren't taking the money, we're starting to feel a little lonely because, you know, we're sacrificing a lot of these things, which homeschoolers have always sacrificed, mm-hmm. but they sacrifice together. Like we're in this right. together. So I'm not dropping my kids 5 days a week off to every opportunity that this money can buy me. Instead, we're coming together and we're sacrificing together. But as this great divide is happening, it's definitely becoming lonely for some, you know. The other thing that you hit on is some people will honestly say, and this is really a passion of mine. They'll say, you know, I couldn't afford to homeschool otherwise, right? That's what you hear a lot. I couldn't afford to homeschool otherwise. And, you know, I will be really transparent here. We don't make millions of dollars. You know, we definitely sacrifice a lot to be able to live on a single income. But that, I mean, obviously that sacrifice is worth it. But this is another thing is I would challenge that parent and say, well, really, you couldn't afford to probably have that kid in the first place. You know, that would be like saying, I can't really afford to stay married to this guy. I can't really afford to fight for my freedom. Ultimately, what we're doing, I mean, the big picture is we can't afford not to. We cannot afford not to fight for our freedom. We can't afford not to sacrifice for our freedom. But the other thing that this is doing that I think is really sad is we're not depending on the Lord to provide our needs. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if God has called you, and I used to say if God has called you to homeschool, but the more I read in the Word, and I speak on this a lot, God has called you. If God has given you a child, he's called you to homeschool that child. I wholeheartedly believe that. So because God has called you, he makes it very clear that he is going to equip you. He is going to give you everything you need. And that includes the finances. Does that mean he's going to provide Disneyland trips every year? No. He's going to give you what you need to do the job that he's called. And we read that over and over and over in scripture. So if a parent says, I can't afford to homeschool, I say, yeah, you can. You just need to depend a lot more on God than on the government. And he's going to give you far more than the government could. And he's going to give you what you need as opposed to the government only giving you what you want. And so I do want to debunk that. I couldn't afford to homeschool otherwise. And if parents question that, you can call me because honestly, we couldn't afford it either. I don't care how many times we crunched it on paper, we couldn't do it. But what we did is we said yes. We said yes to the most important thing, which was our family and our children and their education. And when we said yes, it blew our minds how God showed up, far greater than any check that the government could send me.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought that up because I have recently put out an episode about my grandmother and her legacy, and there are two truths that stuck out to me as true that she always said. She lived her life around these truths, and she lived to 91. Wow. And oh man, they're true. And that is that children are a blessing. Mm-hmm. And when you believe that and act from that space, your life is different. Your children's lives are different. The way you show up for your family is different. And the second truth is that God always provides for a child.
Yep.
She always has said that from, I cannot even remember the first time I heard that. I just know right. that I heard that on repeat, repeat, repeat. God yeah. always provides for a child. I have never found aww. That to not I be true. That. And you know, you just stated it again. And I do believe that. And once you take that on as a belief and act from that space, your life yep. will change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like we're really just trading in, you know, we're trading in, I don't know the terminology, but like something so good that God could give us and we're trading it in for a little bit of money, for a little bit of nothing. Like it's just, it's not worth what we're giving up, you know? Mm-hmm. But we also have to stop believing the lie that for our kids to be productive members of society, to be solid family people, to be who God called them to be, they have to have all the things, you know? And that is what this government funding does is it really makes us believe we're failing as parents if we do not provide all the opportunities. And that is a lie from the enemy that it's to try to loop us in to releasing our, you know, to letting go of the calling that we've had to take the responsibility of our children's upbringing. We don't have to provide them all the things. God will provide them what we need. We just need to be faithful to answer the call.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Oh my gosh. And it does mean opting out of a lot of societal messages
yes,
that are being shut down
God
our throats.
That
you have to be a double income house and
yes.
all of that. You,
right.
And I know that people are saying that's just our modern world. That's just our modern world. But we actually have the choice to opt out
yes.
of that. We really,
yes.
truly do.
Yes.
I saw a headline the other day that said something of a single income households are now causing economic problems. And I'm like, oh yeah. Okay.
Wow.
You're getting half the tax dollars. I see that now. Yes. I can see where that would be considered okay. an economic problem, but from a family standpoint, it's
right.
really, I see it really working out for the best. Oh
right.
my gosh.
Absolutely.
Well, I know that parents listening to this are going to want to educate themselves more.
Yes.
What are some practical ways parents can keep up with homeschool politics? while they're also homeschooling their children.
Well, here's the thing. We homeschool, if you're in if you are in Idaho, if you're in any state, your state, well, I can't say any, most states have a state homeschool organization, and their sole purpose is to fight for and defend your freedom. They are watching bills. They are meeting with legislators. They are all in, and they are homeschool parents just like you, and they have a vested interest just like you. Most states have that. So what we would ask of you, and I'm on the board of Homeschool Idaho, is we try to make this as easy for you as possible. We are the watchdogs. We are watching. We are paying attention. The people on these boards also have a great history. I mean, I'm a baby, so I've only, you know, I have a high schooler, but many of these homeschool people that are on these boards, I mean, they've been around for 30 years or longer. They know, they've seen the patterns, they've seen the trends, they know what's coming. They're doing the heavy lifting, but they need you. All of these people are just volunteers and they're just homeschooling as well. What we ask of you is get on the newsletters of your state board. They will alert you when you need alerted. They will update you with what you need updated with. They are there to answer your questions. Support them. I mean, honestly, even just send them a thank you. But make sure you're on the newsletter. If you're in my state, go to our – actually, I'm going to tell you, if you're in any state, if you go to homeschoolidaho.org and you scroll down and you see a picture of our state capitol, we have a whole new section we just did on the dangers of ESAs, or, you know, and it breaks down every thought, like the money should fund the student, not the system, or, you know, what about this? What all these hot things, if you don't want the money, just don't take it. Who cares? You know, all these questions that we ask that seem like very valid questions. We've answered them all. We've brought you truth. We've given examples of what's gone elsewhere. Every one of your questions is answered there. It's also something we're constantly growing with articles. It will benefit any state in our nation because all states are facing this. Again, sign up for the newsletter. But ultimately, what I would say is if you want your homeschool freedoms to stand, if you want to continue to homeschool your children freely, if you want your children to be able to homeschool their children freely, I am asking you and I am begging you to understand the dangers, the absolute danger and threat it is to take government money into your home to, quote unquote, under the guise of helping you. That is not a help to you. It is not a help to our freedom. I ask you to pray about it. I ask you to seek the Lord. I ask you to do what is right for the freedom of all of the people so that we can continue this incredible blessing, this incredible gift of raising up a generation that can stand on truth, a generation that can have wisdom and discernment, that can walk with God, that can raise families in the future. We ask you to please sacrifice and take very seriously this threat and come alongside of us in that fight for freedom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Abby, that's so good. Oh my gosh. You brought up so many awesome points today. I really appreciate all of them. I do think that it takes a couple more ounces of bravery these days to speak up against a lot of what's being shown to us as this is good, this is great, this is choice, this is what it is. Right. I mean, I've even heard things like, oh, so, you know, your tax dollars, don't you just want them back?
Right.
I kind of shake my head. I'm like, wow, that is the most car salesy thing I've ever heard.
I know. But it, honestly, on face value, some of these things, like I hear constantly, fund the student, not the system. On face value, that sounds great. Or it's my tax money. At face value, that sounds great. But the problem is we have a generation of everybody that's taking things on face value. We're not thinking deeply. We're not looking at the implications. We're not looking at history. I mean, this is a big thing, is we need to look at history to give us that wisdom to move forward on our choices. So again, all of those questions, if you're like, hey, I've asked that, that sounds good to me too. All of those questions are addressed on that website. Mm-hmm. I'm available. Reach out to your state homeschool organization. They are available. There are answers to these things. There is help out there. You know, we don't want to just give you this information and say, see ya, good luck. You know, we want to come alongside you. I know that Lori does. I know that I do. I know that homeschool families that truly understand freedom, we want to come alongside you and help you to do this and do this well, but to also give you the courage and the understanding that you do not need the government to answer the call that God has given you. Mm-hmm. You just need God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. Oh my gosh. So I'll add to your awesome action steps that I'll link to in the show notes, that I would just encourage people to look deeper, seek community, Participate. Find a way to be a participant and not a consumer and pray about it. And I promise you the courage will come because God always provides for a child. Abby, if people want to connect with you more, where can they find you?
Well, if you want homeschool encouragement, biblical motherhood encouragement, you can find me Instagram, Facebook, Abby Ranella, His Calling, My Passion. If you want, on a side, we work a lot in the outdoor industry. So if you just want to connect with me on a personal level, you can find me at Abby Ranella on both of those things, Called to the Top. So my website is calledtothetop.com. So you can find articles there, both on the outdoor industry, homeschool, homeschool freedom, all the things. It's all in one place. So it's all just getting back to the roots and how God created us as families to teach and train and designed us to raise up our kids.
Abby, you are so awesome. Thank you so much for today. Thank you for the way that you show up for your own family and for so many other families. I really appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you for being brave enough to have this message. You know, I know that this is an important message and your courage and your bravery to share it. And I know that you do it out of a heart because you care for families, you care for parents, you care for parents' ability to freely homeschool, and you care for the next generation. So thank you for sharing this message. I appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.